Well, I used to work out about 3 or 4 times a week at the Y too, so that kind of kept me together. And then after I stopped doing that, and I stopped drinking too, as an outlet, I saw it was getting me nowhere.
That's Jim talking. That's
yeah,
Jim.
No, that's
He's a senior
Kurt.
At Lane Tech, and that's Judy Nickel, a reporter of the Chicago Sun-Times. And that was Kurt talking, I should say.
Yeah.
Kurt and Jim is his friend, both of whom are seniors at Lane Tech. And this in connection, Judy Nickel is one of the correspondents, excellent, one of the Chicago Sun-Times, and your colleagues working on the series. Drugs and high schools in Chicago, yet you might say drugs and schools all over the country, and perhaps drugs generally as far as all our society is concerned, all kinds of drugs, including the most pernicious of all, alcohol. And so where do we begin, Judy? We're talking about your colleagues who worked on the series of some two, 3 weeks now about drugs in Chicago.
Well, there were a large number of us who worked for 3 months. We went to high schools all over the city and in the suburbs, talking to kids about why they use drugs, how often they use them, how available they are, where they come from, and whether or not they think this is a problem. In large part, they don't think it's a problem. They think they can handle it, but some handle it much better than others. I'd like to give credit to the other people who worked on this with me, because I, by no stretch of the imagination, did all the work. The other people were Lloyd Green, who was an assistant city editor at the Sun-Times, and the reporters were Ellis Coase, Jerry DeMuth, Bob Hillman, myself, and Leon Pitt.
And I'm thinking about the whole series. I suppose, Kurt, you were talking as we were going on the air about yourself and beer. Families, we always think of, originally we thought drugs, black kids in the ghetto, and we thought of heroin, H. Now they're all kinds. Suppose we start in the beginning. Who are you? Who are you, Kurt? Your family. How would you do? You go to Lane.
Yes.
Lane Tech.
Well, my family is I term them as a average middle class family. Both of my parents work. They have since we were old enough to go to school and take care of ourselves. And that's one of the things where a kid could get involved, like if his parents don't spend enough time with him. But that's by no means what the case was with me. You know, like I picked it up from my older brother and from friends, you know, habits like that. Same thing with smoking your first cigarette. You know, you don't do it just because, like, you saw it on a commercial, or your parents, and maybe your parents influence you. You see your father smoking all the time, or your mother, and they're not home. Go into their bedroom and sneak a cigarette out their pack. You know, it's the same thing with picking up drugs or drinking.
Well, you ask about the kind of drugs. And so it's sort of a middle-class family. Your father, what kind of work your father do?
He's an electronics maintenance man in a foundry.
How about you, Jim?
Well, I'm like Kurt, I come from a middle-class family, a family of 9 children, 7 girls and 2 boys. Our neighborhood isn't bad at all. It's getting pretty bad because of the drug scene now, but well, I guess you could say I picked it up from my friends, which supposedly you think they're your friends, but you know they're not. And
we say drugs, Judy. Now from now on in, we're come anytime. You know, we say drugs. What do you mean?
They consider marijuana a drug, but I don't at all, not in the terms where it would be classed as a narcotic. Because marijuana, I feel, is a lot safer than alcohol. I've been through a lot with alcohol, and I've had people in my neighborhood and relatives, things like that, friends who've gotten too drunk, they had auto accidents, a few of them are dead now, things of that sort, you know, and you see where alcohol got them. Now, marijuana is smoked to be sociable, just like drinking, unless you do it to an excess where you're an alcoholic. But you can't be addicted to marijuana. There's no really bad physical effects unless you go out and smoke maybe $20 worth a day, which, you know, that's called a lid. And, you know, it's impossible to do that because you can only smoke so much before your throat gives out, you know, and you just keep coughing. And it doesn't put you in a stupor or anything like that. Of course, drugs affect people different ways. It depends what type of a mood you're in.
How about downers at Lane? We found out that barbiturates and sopers, so-called, are very prevalent in high schools, more prevalent than anything else. I'm wondering if there, what you think about that at Lane. Is that true?
Well, the barbiturates, you can't, I've never myself really seen a barbiturate addict. Because, well, barbs, they're really sort of hard to get, I'd say, you know. People that have barbs, people that sell them, get them from usually doctors or pharmacists or something. They, you know, usually don't sell them in quantities. And a barbiturate addict, you know, he's you can't compare him to a heroin addict, because a heroin addict has to have his junk every day, you know. And a barbiturate addict, you know, like I say, he doesn't have the drug exposed to him too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see how he could become, you know, that addicted to it.
Well, it's hard, according to what we find out, but it is possible. You have to have a regular supply route that you can depend upon. Sometimes it's somebody who regularly gets it by stealing large quantities from pharmaceutical houses or from drugstores or has
these
a friendly doctor.
These are the blues, reds, these are reds.
That's
blues.
Right.
These are, we say downers. What do you mean by downers? Downers in contrast to what, uppers? What are downers?
Downers, they put you down, they slow you down, they slow down your motor mechanisms, you know, your speech, and your speech is slurred, you walk, you know, tottering back and forth, things like that. While uppers are amphetamines and cocaine, they stimulate you. A lot of adrenaline goes in your system, everything, your heartbeat steps up, your pulse rate naturally.
So what is the one that is most used then?
The downers, barbiturates.
Ah. Why, this is one that makes things seem kind of easy, relaxed, or sleepy, like.
The trouble is, people don't realize, like, the more they do them, they build up a state of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as Jim was saying before, like, he doesn't know of any barbiturate addicts. I don't either, not at school, but I know some heavy users. And lately is when they've just been getting into the heavy usage of them, because, like, as Ms. Nichols said, it depends on availability. Somebody in a neighborhood down towards the lake got a hold of a large quantity of them. Now, some of them are coming around school. Like, they're not for sale, but the people who have access to them are using them rather heavily. People that I know, as a matter of fact.
Well, why is it? What are you going to say, Judy?
I was going to say that I think it's interesting that downers are so popular, because they're let... You can control, evidently, as I understand it, the reaction to them easier than you can control the reaction to amphetamines. Sometimes amphetamines will make you just really freak out and you'll be running around the classroom, but you can take a downer and just sit there and just sort of dream through the whole class. And the teacher doesn't pick on you. In some cases, I've heard some students say that the teacher likes it better when you just sit in the back of the classroom and don't make any noise and you don't drop your books on the floor and you don't shuffle around and you don't nudge the kid next to you. You just sit there like a lump and they don't have to worry about you.
Well, that's the trouble with a lot of the teachers. Like, they don't care. Sure, a lot of the kids are problems. You know, that's part of growing up. I used to be a class clown. I remember when I was in first and second grade, I was the only kid in the whole school who had his own seat behind the piano. You know, just to keep me separated from the rest of the class. But, you know, I was always an active person. But having a student just sit in the back, if he can't keep up with his work, and just passing him because he keeps his mouth shut, isn't really giving him an education that he deserves, that his parents pay for in taxes.
What kinds of drugs have you used?
Well, I've experienced all the drugs. You know, I've went... I started out on alcohol, you know. That was in grade school. And
beer?
Beer, yes. Whiskey, you know.
Hard liquor.
And from there, you know, I went to glue. Well, glue is a normal stage, I think, just like alcohol was. But then again, I'll say I got turned on by my friends to pot. This was when I was... I think I was in eighth grade, and then I went to acid, you know, and then, you know, right up the line, cocaine, you know,
heroin too,
junk, yeah.
Mm.
I was in the hospital for a couple weeks with hepatitis from shooting dope.
What does heroin feel like?
It's similar to barbiturates, downers.
How would you describe the feeling that you get from taking downers?
Downers
or heroin?
I don't like to do downers that much because you know I get too tired. You know, I just go to sleep in a corner, find a corner, and go to sleep. But like heroin, you know, like you can go, you go sit down in a corner, you know, your cigarette burns down to your finger, you know, you go off into dreams, you're nodding constantly, you know, and it's real relaxing. They call it the King of High.
King of High?
Yes. Yeah.
Why do you feel the need to relax? It would seem to me with your life ahead of you and both of you smart and both of you going to a really good school and from nice families, why do you need to do this? Why do you want to do it?
I really don't know. That's one thing I can't figure out. It's because I think it's the main thing is the people that I hang around with. If I could get out of the crowd, you know, I think I'd be better off on my own.
So you think it's the matter of wanting to impress your friends, or your
right,
friends impress
exactly.
You. That's important, isn't it?
Feel a part of the crowd,
yeah.
To belong.
Yeah.
To
belong.
Be alone,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think, Kurt, Judy's question, why do you think a lot of people, you know, your contemporary friends...
I went through the same thing as Jim here. Like, I was out with hepatitis in...
Where did you get hepatitis from? From what?
Using a needle that somebody else used when they already had hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that put me out in January, and I really didn't take care of myself. I didn't stay at home and rest as much as I should have, and I had a relapse, which is about 5 to 10 times worse, you know, and I joined this. Now my liver's scarred, you know, supposedly I won't make it past 50. So, you know, I just learned the hard way. It's part of life. But I don't take it bad because I knew what I was getting into. I really didn't know what would happen if I joined this, but I knew what hepatitis was already because other people that I know have had it. And, you know, it's just something that comes with getting high, depending on how you get high. If you use a needle, if that's what you're into, getting, you know, using heroin or getting amphetamines.
You mentioned that it makes you feel part of the crowd, that it relieves loneliness. Do you think that's a big problem?
Loneliness is definitely a big problem. Like, I couldn't stand it when I was in the hospital. A lot of people didn't come to visit me,
right.
That I thought were such good friends and everything.
Same thing with me. No, not only one person came to visit me.
My parents were always there. Like, I talked to teachers at school. Like, some of them are, like we were talking before about teachers, they don't really care about the student just to pass them. But some of them are very intelligent, and they'll talk with you, you know, and they'll tell you, like, you'll find out as you go through life that the best friends you really have, the people that love you and care about you the most, are your parents, because they went through so much with you. And, like, I put my parents through a lot here with hepatitis and everything like that. But, you know, basically in school, I keep up with all my work, and I pass everything. I'm going on to college, which is more than most of the people in my neighborhood do, because most of them never even made it out of high school. They dropped out in their sophomore and junior years.
Of course, this raises the question that Judy has asked, you know, why has there been an increase? We say drugs, so many, the varieties, downers, uppers, the hard stuff, the stuff that's pills, stuff you find in family cabinets, too. The question is, there's been an increase, hasn't there, as far as high school students?
We think so, particularly in downers. We're not sure because nobody really tested it before, and nobody has really tested it now. So it appears that in some schools maybe there was a peak in about 1970, or at least that's what the teachers think, where there were more kids who were sick in the hallway, more kids who had to be taken to the hospital, more kids who had to be sent home than there are now. We're not sure whether there's more drug use now or whether kids are controlling it better now. One of the things that one of the suburban hospitals that I called said that I thought was interesting was that it used to be that they would get people who just were afraid, who'd maybe smoked 2 marijuana cigarettes and felt a little weird and would come into the hospital because they were scared. Now when they get somebody, they're really, really sick. They don't get any more people who are just scared from 2 marijuana cigarettes. They get people who are virtually on the brink of death. So that the number...
That's not from marijuana. You're talking about something else.
No. Something else entirely is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so that the number of people who... The statistics that you get, the statistics from hospitals, the statistics from police departments, the statistics from sick people, may not necessarily be an indication of use, but more an indication of abuse.
Yeah.
And it's not clear to me that there is a lot of abuse in high schools, real abuse of drugs, in abuse to the extent that it would permanently damage...
See, but Kurt and Jim are both touching on something that we cannot evade. teachers, schools, education societies like it better if you're members of the silent majority.
Right.
In short, if you're quiet and say nothing, and even if you're asleep or if you're off somewhere. Is that your feeling?
Yes, for the most case. I have very good teachers at Lane. I've had them. But it's not so much the teachers as the people who run the school. Like, they don't want to give the students a voice, you know, and what goes on at the school. They're up to elect a new principal for Lane, and they were supposed to choose a committee, which was to be made up of teachers, parents of the students,